In Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus talking about calming the storm. You know, he was telling these stories about sowing of the seed and the illustration of the lamp and all of that and the little mustard seed. But he closes out this chapter by saying, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. They were ministering all around for this period of time with the people around the Sea of Galilee. And the day was getting over, and they said, let's go to the other side of the lake. He was already in the boat. So they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats had followed. But soon a fierce storm arose. High waves began to break up over the boat until it was nearly full of water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Sometimes we don't think that Jesus is with us or even listening to our cries and prayers. We think he's back here sleeping, but he always knows. Frantically, they all awoke shouting, teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown? And when he woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, quiet down. Now, some translations say, peace be still. We sang a hymn about that. Peace be still. Suddenly, the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still not have faith in me? And they were filled with awe and said among themselves, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey his command? Think about all the challenges sometimes in our own life. So we think about water and wind, and the girls were talking about the storm that they had down there in Leesburg and so forth. They had to stay in the cabin. But Jesus calmed the mighty windstorm. He saved his disciples from destruction. He continued to have power over chaos, and he invites us to trust him in the storms that rage inside of us. And we're grateful for that. Hallelujah. It's 5 minutes to 12. If y'all can give me 10 or 15 minutes, I'd like to share with you what I prepared based on this passage. Huh? You got your grace? Good. Okay, so with that, if we read that scripture, we can imagine Jesus in the boat with the disciples. But now think about in our modern day terms. You're on a cruise ship out in the Atlantic Ocean. A lot of us here this morning have been on cruises. You're sitting in your room and you're up on the third floor and you just happen to look out that little window and you see waves 30 feet high crashing into the windows. Don't know it for sure, but then you come to find out there's a hurricane force coming upon that ship, and it's tossing that ship and throwing it up against the waves, and it's bouncing, even this huge cruise ship. One of your fellow passengers leans against the window and says to you, we're just staying in one place, hoping not to die. Well, that was a reality on the Royal Caribbean cruise ship about 2 years ago when they hit that monster storm and they were on a trip from New Jersey to Florida that caused that ship to dangerously tip over. Items flew off the shelf, deck chairs went into the water, it was awful. The only good news was Royal Caribbean decided to give everybody a refund, which was nice. And I think that's probably the least they could do for the people who paid for the rooms on the third floor that suddenly found themselves underwater. But like passengers on a cruise ship, the disciples sitting in that boat, if you've ever been blessed to go to Israel and you go up to the Sea of Galilee and you look at those boats that they still, the replicas, and they still use boats very similar to what Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee in, they're not very big. And here they are going across the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful, clear day. Water's calm, sort of like our lakes whenever there's not bad weather. Just nice, like glass. And, you know, teacher said, we got to go to the other side. And they get out there, and this storm comes up. In that particular area, storms can come up at a moment's notice. You just don't know. It looked like it was going to be great, and then bingo, you got a storm. Well, we as people, humans, if you would, storms of life blow about us all the time. But sometimes it's not the exterior storms that pose a danger. It's the terrible corruption and the anxiety that overwhelms us that's inside. The furious storms on the outside are overwhelming enough, but what's going on sometimes in us is the greater threat to our lives. Our only hope lies in conquering that wild enemy. Unfortunately, storms of life range that we cannot be cured by. We can't do it by ourselves. It takes the power of God's love revealed to us through Jesus Christ. He is our only hope of stilling this tempest or the storms that can harm our souls and cripple our life. That's what the disciples learned that day out in the Sea of Galilee. They thought the danger lied outside the boat, the storm. But they would soon learn the real danger lied within the boat, with their own hearts. They lacked faith. And without faith in our lives, we're at risk to all kinds of storms that inevitably come. Just a little bit like the storm that we experienced with this past week in our own lives as far as pertaining to ministry and helping the kids back. We didn't expect that storm. Disciples come and they didn't expect the storm either. So they were thinking, after it was all over, what can we learn from that storm? Well, the first thing I think that they can learn, that it comes suddenly. Storms come suddenly. We know in Florida in the afternoon and in the weather in the summer here, storms can crop up suddenly. The other day I was looking to go somewhere and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And by the time I got to Monticello, here come a storm. Well, the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is compared to a small mustard seed, which becomes a giant plant. He told many stories, and the faith that was gathered by the disciples was something that they hung up to. And Jesus told his disciples, hey, we got to go to the other side. Surely the disciples questioned his decision. I don't know. You want us to leave now? We're tired. We're on the verge of success. We have a lot of people that's come to hear you preach. We have a lot of things going on. But they said, okay, if you want to go, we'll go. And they set sail on that beautiful afternoon in the Sea of Galilee. The sun was shining and Jesus was weary from the day's activity. So he grabbed a pillow, laid it into the back of the boat, and fell asleep. Judy and I were on one of them little boats in the Sea of Galilee, crossing to the other side. When one of those storms came up, and it's one of the most amazing things about the Holy Land is you take the Word of God, it's like having the script to the play, and you can see how the script or the Bible is laid out. And when that storm came up, the first thing that came to her mind was that scripture. Peace be still. The wind and the rain obeyed his command. Peace be still. Now, we have the advantage of having faith to know a little bit about the weather and so forth today, but the fellow that was running the boat had us go down underneath, and it subsided, and then the storm was over. But as late afternoon fell, the disciples in his little boat, it fell from afternoon to dusk, and then the trouble began. The frightened them to death. The puffy clouds that dotted the sky were reduced to the hanging, billowous black clouds that the still waters began to churn in a white cast, and the large wave was splashing against this tiny little boat. The Sea of Galilee is also notorious for these southern storms and violent squalls. Now the disciples must have thought to themselves as they were crossing over to the other side, this Jesus guy led us into destruction. We're going to die. They weren't thinking about that. They weren't thinking about their salvation. They had lost their faith. Trouble can come at any time in our life. Everything can be beautiful. People can be congratulating you. Things can be going well. Then all of a sudden, the telephone rings at 6 o'clock in the morning. And everything in your life that particular day turns upside down. Or you might have medical tests come back, and the phone rings, and you get it, and then all of a sudden, you're in the midst of a medical storm. It doesn't take long for storms to come into our lives. Amazingly, this violent storm was taking place when John Wesley decided to come to America. He got on his little ship, and they started across the Atlantic Ocean. This was before he had a conversion experience on Aldersgate. He found himself in the middle of this storm on this little ship coming to America. He frantically was running around that little ship to find shelter. And in the process, he ran across a group called the Moravians, who were also on that ship coming to America. What were they doing? They were singing and praying. No fear, no panic. Not even among the children that was with the Moravians. Wesley couldn't believe this, so he asked them, he said, "Why are you so calm and peaceful with all this storm going on? Aren't you afraid?" One of the Moravians said to him, "We have Jesus as our Savior." It was one of the turning points. Wesley had many. He was an Anglican priest preaching all this stuff, but he didn't have the faith. It was the beginning of a wonderful relationship and a friendship with the Moravians. Storms can come suddenly. The disciples experienced it just like John Wesley did, and I'm sure that most of us have too. That's when we go to the stern of the boat and find Jesus asleep. He doesn't even know the storm is raging. He can't hear the howl of the wind. He doesn't even feel the waves crashing on the side of the boat with water splashing all over his face. It just doesn't seem to disturb him. The disciples say, "He doesn't care." They said, "Teacher, do you care if we drowned? Doesn't God care about what I'm going through?" Sometimes we'll ask ourselves when we're in the storm of life. Doesn't God care? Well, the sudden, furious storm outside can be overwhelming by what's going on in the inside, and it can pose a greater threat to our lives. Who's going to calm this storm in our life? Who will the wind and the rain obey? New Living Translation says, "Quiet, be still. Be still and know that I'm God," it says in the Psalms. So the storms of life can suddenly make us lose our direction. And that's the second thing that we can look from this little story about a boat riding out in the storm. We can lose our direction. And that's probably the obvious fact that one needs to mention, that many of the disciples were experienced fishermen of the day. They've been through all of that. They charted those waters for years and their families before them. The obvious answer was in this storm was like any other. Possibly, but I don't think so. I think this storm was like any other. They knew how to deal with it. And what I think is this, they are chastising Jesus for not pulling his weight. "You're sleeping, and we're out here. We need your help. Get up, guy. Help us out. Grab an oar. We need your help. All hands on deck." Well, it's at that moment when something unexpected happens. Jesus gets up. He doesn't grab an oar. He calms the storm. And this is why the disciples were so terrified. If you look a little closer to the story, the disciples are frightened by the ferocity of the storm. They need everybody to pitch in, and Jesus just rebuked the storm. "Quiet, be still." The disciples were stunned. They were looking for human help, not divine authority. They were looking for a hand. But what they got was a God manifested in the flesh. They were terrified and were asking each other, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey his command?" So think about it. Which would you fear, the storm or the one who masters the storm? It is here that the disciples lose direction. Jesus said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? You've been with me all this time, and you've seen me do miracles and do that, and you still don't have any faith? Do you understand who I am?" But they were still frightened during the storm. Why? Because of he who was in the boat. Their real problem was not the storm, but the storm of doubt and unbelief. Unfortunately, storms that rage within us, both physically and spiritually, can be cured by ourselves? No. We need help. That's why it says in Ecclesiastes 2, are better than one. When one falls down, the other one's there to pick them up. We need help. That's the way God is with the Holy Spirit. He is always with us. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And that's what the disciples learned that day out on the Sea of Galilee. And we can take something from it. They thought the danger lied outside the boat, but they would soon realize and understand that the danger was within the boat, within their own hearts. In a word, they lacked faith. So where do you turn when you get into a storm? I try to turn directly to God the first time. Storms can come in different ways. Challenges, devil can't read your mind, but he can play tricks on your mind. And when I get into that kind of stuff, I take a word from Jesus. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord's people. Because we're now part of his family. It's the only time that the disciples really had to face this question. And again, in John chapter 6, it's there we read that the crowds began to fall away from Jesus. He was ministering. He had a wonderful following. But like the modern day church, people start drifting away. We don't have the attendance in church anymore like we used to. People just fall away. Well, we can go do our own thing. But the old excitement was not there. Jesus was no longer talking about the kingdom of God. He was talking about taking up a cross to follow the obligations of what he was called to do. At that point, Jesus turned to the disciples and said, okay, guys, you want to go away too? I love Peter. Peter always had his foot in his mouth. And he would always be one to speak impetuously, often talking out of turn and without even thinking. But he always spoke from the heart. And he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to know you as the Holy One of Israel. So when we find ourselves sinking in the midst of a storm, where else are you going to go but God? There was a woman in the faith community, and I won't tell you where it was, but she was known as a person for simple faith. And she was known to be able to handle trials and tribulations with such calm. There was a friend of another friend that said, why don't you come to church and I'll introduce you to her. So they visited one day and she said, I heard about you. I admire you, but I would just like to ask you one question. What's the secret of your calm? What's the secret of your happy life? And she said, because I heard that you're a woman of great faith. And I'd like to have that too. What is it? Now, she says, I'm not the woman of great faith, but I am the woman with a little faith and a great, great God. Think about that. So I don't believe that the boat that day on the Sea of Galilee, that Jesus rebuked the disciples for their lack of faith and his ability to calm the storm. What I believe is that Jesus disappointed that they did not yet understand who he was. If they understood, they would not have feared the storm. So when you find, or I find, or I say you and me and I, we're talking about we, are in a storm and our boat is sinking, may I suggest you take time and turn to Christ. So where else are you going to go for answers, true answers? Take a word from the disciples, from Peter. He said, Lord, you're the only one who has the words of eternal life. That's the hope that we have. That's why I paraphrase what the Apostle Paul said, that in this life you'll have trials and tribulations and storm, but fear not, because Jesus said, I've overcome the world. That makes it so special. We have hope of something much better ahead for us. And I'll close with this. You don't need to panic through any situation, even if it appears bleak. The Lord of the church in the boat is with you. You need not forsake your witness. The Lord of history is in the boat with you. You need not to become immobilized. The Lord of the storm is in the boat with you. That's a promise. standing on the promises of Christ my King. So will the clouds dissipate immediately? Probably not. Will you no longer have to struggle with all your problems? Probably no. You'll have to still deal with things. Will you prosper like the TV evangelists tell you to do? Oh, I got the answer. Seed faith. And I believe in seed faith. Seed faith. You said the Lord told me I have 300 miracles for somebody out there today. Just send me $1,000 and all your problems will be over. Hogwash. Probably not. You say, well, it doesn't sound as though the promise that is given is that great. What God promised us. I don't know. Think about that. Think about Noah. How he got through the storm. Think about how the Jews got through the wilderness. Think about how Mary got through her pregnancy. Think about how Jesus got through the crucifixion. Father, I pray that your will, not mine, that if this cup would be taken from us. How did he get through the crucifixion? And think about it. Will it be sufficient for you and I to get through the night? I can assure you that it will. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Father, thank and praise you for this time. Thank you for this little church. Thank you for letting us look at old storms and new storms, and all of us that have had challenges in our life. We've also had successes, and we praise you and thank you for them. But Father, next time we get into a mess, let us realize that we can call upon you. And we thank you for that in the wisdom that you give to us if we stay open to the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit. And don't let that old devil get a foothold in your brain, because he just would mess you up with cast doubt. God knows your heart. He knows what you need before you ask him. And sometimes we just have to trust him that the solutions will come, and we know that they will, but sometimes not in our time. But give us the faith and the wisdom and the peace that passes all understanding to let us get through it. So, Father, thank you that we can call upon your name, and we just pray that everybody here this morning knows that. I'm just reminding you of things that you already know. And thank you for that, Lord. But sometimes we just have to say, Lord, I need to repent. I just need a new fresh. I need to start over and clear the clutter in our brain. It's like when Phil clears out the cache in the computer. Sometimes we just need to do that, to clean out the cache in our own life. Get rid of all that stuff and make a recommitment. We're looking for a church home. We just pray that you'd consider. We thank you for those of us, or those of you and us, that have been a part of this little church for a long time and so faithful to its ministry. But if you're looking for a church home, I can assure you this would be one that you won't regret being a part of. In Jesus' precious name, amen.